Morning. I'm going to move this way. This is on, right? Okay. All right. We're going to be looking at true fellowship. The Bible doesn't call it that, but that's what we're going to call it. And what I want to flesh out, at least in part this morning, is the fact that true fellowship starts from inside, and then it moves outward. Okay, so what John here is sharing in 1 John are the basics of fellowship. Now, the church that I grew up in, we had a huge fellowship hall. And how did I know it was a fellowship hall? Because it was a sign over the door that said fellowship hall. And that's what I thought fellowship was, you know, coffee, cookies, and cupcakes. And we had fellowship dinners, we had fellowship this and fellowship that, and that was kind of my introduction to fellowship. Well, we're not going to talk about coffee, cupcakes, and cookies, okay? Because that's not the fellowship that John is talking about here. It's not that doesn't have a place. Even in the early church, even in the early Christian gatherings, they broke bread and they spent time with each other in their homes and visited with each other. But the fellowship that I want to focus on is something that needs to be developed. It needs to be worked on. And I think it's something that we just take for granted. You know, if we show up, fellowship happens. And in a sense it does, but there's a deeper meaning and reason for fellowship, for coming into that relationship, not only through Jesus Christ, but the relationship that we have with each other. And all of that filters down into who we are and how we live our lives and the impact that we then have on the lives of others. And so we're going to start out, and I love this fact, and the first point that I have is that this fellowship includes you, all right? This fellowship includes you. There's nobody excluded. If you come to Jesus Christ in faith, you can have fellowship, and you can have deep, real, meaningful fellowship. So let's start in 1 John chapter 1, and Jason read verses 1 through 4, but we'll read them again this morning. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you love us, and we thank you that you want to spend time with us and just help our hearts to want the same things. In Jesus' name, amen. So that which was from the beginning, we go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And there's a little bit of controversy about this idea of beginning. I tend to think that John is focusing on this because it comes up again in the Gospel of John chapter 1. And we go back to the beginning in Genesis 1, chapter 1, in the beginning. Some say, well, in the beginning was the time when the disciples were aware of and were called into a fellowship or a relationship with the Lord. And it seems to, you know, have that kind of meaning, but I think it's talking more about the object of our fellowship. Jesus Christ is the object of our fellowship more than just the time frame. That which was from the beginning, Jesus Christ, which we have heard, which we've seen with our eyes. And then he goes on and covers that. Psalm 19, a psalm of David, The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. So the heavens declare the glory of God, and in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And we find out that Jesus Christ is the creator of all things. So that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. Another phrase, word of life, and what does that mean? Well, this is God is the word of life. This is the God who is the word of life, God the Son. This is the Logos, and the Logos, the word, is the easiest definition that I have come across, is the word is how God thinks. This is the mind of God placed in a man. The Logos, the God who embodies life, and this life is eternal life. And so this is a description of Jesus Christ. Now we end up, and you know, we're explaining this and we're working through it, but John kind of holds back some information. Not until chapter 1, verse 3, does he, right at the end of verse 3, does he tell you who he's talking about. He's describing him. He's talking about him. He's talking about relationship. He's talking about fellowship. We know that the word of God is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. We know that who Jesus Christ is and how he has shared his life and how he's shared the word of God is perfect for us. It's exactly what we need in order to live lives that are pleasing to him. Psalm 119 tells us, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. In other words, if there is no light, if there's no lamp, I'm walking in darkness apart from God's word. Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. And so the word of God, and meditating on the word of God, and working on that relationship, that fellowship with God, really impacts who we are, and then how God deals with us on a day-to-day basis. Now, I want to remind you that even though we are a Bible church, we do not worship the Bible. That has been put against Bible churches for years and years and years. Oh, they just worship the Bible. No, we don't worship the Bible. And nor can the Bible save us. We know that. The Bible itself is printed word of God, and we talk about it being living, right? But the Bible itself can't save us. The eternal word saves us. That's what John is getting to here. Concerning the word of life, the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness. This is the eternal life. The manifested Son of God. He's the one who saves us. Now, how do we learn about him? Well, from the Bible. But it's not the Bible that saves us. It's Jesus Christ who saves us. We don't put our trust in the Bible, even though we trust the Bible. It's a fine line, but it needs to be understood that the Bible tells us about God. The Bible, the Word of God, tells us about the life of God and Jesus Christ. So John continues in verse 2, the life was made manifest. In other words, made apparent. We can see him. And we have seen it, and we testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life. And that eternal life, no, could be capitalized. It's not just the gospel. It's not just the good news, it's not just what the Bible says and what the Old Testament had said at that time and during Jesus' time. It's the eternal life. And that eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. So this eternal life is Jesus. Life is in Jesus Christ. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Listen, to unpack just those five verses, I mean, you could write your thesis on that. Turn this off. I keep hitting it. I don't mind hitting it. I just don't want to hear it. Okay. There we go. 1 John 1:3. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. I love that. We have had fellowship with Him. We have handled Him. We have touched Him. We've seen Him. We understand who He is. We understand what He's fulfilled. We understand that He is the eternal life, that He is the Word of life. We understand that. Now you enter into this with us. You become a part of that fellowship that we have, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father. And again, that's a unique statement. You know, in Hebrew culture at that time, you just didn't call God Daddy. You just didn't. But He does. Our fellowship is with the Father. And finally, the end of verse 3, and with His Son, who I've been talking about all this time, Jesus Christ. And then I love verse 4. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete, or our joy may be full. Peter writes this: though you've not seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not now see Him, you believe in Him, and you rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. Listen, I don't know where you are on your faith walk, where you are with God, where you are in your fellowship, if it's not what it should be, or if you're right there. But either way, you may have observed that joy is a quality of the Spirit. It's a quality of the Spirit, whereas happiness, when we talk about, well, I just want my kids to be happy. Well, I'd rather my kids be full of joy. Happiness is a quality of the emotion. Happiness has to do with what is happening around us, and it's dependent on that. Joy, on the other hand, is embedded in our spirit. It exists because of our unchanging God and can be experienced no matter what is happening to us. We can have joy and have it abundantly, have it full. And we do that because of Christ. And we do that because He went to the cross. He joyfully went to the cross. He willingly went to the cross for us. He shed His blood. He gave His life for us. And if we believe and trust in Him, then we not only have eternal life, but we have access to that joy and that fellowship and that time that we can spend together with Him. Anyone, anywhere, at any time can have fellowship with Him and with other believers, and with others that have trusted in Christ. I remember I was had just gotten saved. I was working outside. I was working at the time for Kim's dad, and I was setting up a metal structure, and I was drilling holes. And if you know anything, drilling holes in the hot sun with metal shavings coming at you while you're sweating is not the most fun thing you could do on a warm day. And so I'm drilling holes, and I'm like, I just want this to be over with. And the UPS guy pulls up, and his UPS truck pulls up, and he gets out. But I hear Christian radio playing in the UPS truck, And I had just gotten saved. I just came to the Lord. And so I'm like, you know, I heard you were listening to Christian radio. Oh, yeah, I came to the Lord recently, and he said, I just am soaking it up, just getting all that I can. And I think we stood there. It was summer. It was like it was a day like today. And I think we stood there until it got dark, just talking, just fellowshipping, just talking. And the hours just rolled by. And it just, I mean, obviously it scarred me. Now, obviously it impacted me. Sorry. Impacted me. And I still remember that. And it still brings a tear to my eye to think that this man whom I maybe have gotten a package from in the past but didn't really know, I could fellowship with him. And we had a great time. Now, fellowshipping with God and fellowshipping with other believers is a unique experience. It's something that other religions don't have because they ain't got the Holy Spirit. But faith is the requirement. Faith is the requirement. Hebrews chapter 11 says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. And then verse 4, by faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous. So we're going to get to the whole righteousness part. And God commended him by accepting his gifts, and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found, because God had taken him. That's how much he pleased God. God just took him up. He said, I just want you. Once you hear. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And then, verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. There must be faith. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, or you're kind of on the edge, or you're kind of straddling the fence, now's the time to do it if you want to have true fellowship with Jesus Christ. You need to trust in him. Give your life to him. And recognize that he died for you to pay for your sins so that you could be with him forever. And then verse 4 in 1 John. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete, or our joy might be fullness. Fullness of joy is certainly possible for the Christian, but it is by no means certain. And you may be in the boat where you're saying, where's my joy, Lord? Where's my joy? Or why is my joy not like this joy that John seems to be sharing? Why don't I have that joy? You know, John understood that. In fact, it's a theme, but all he's doing here when he talks about such things is repeating the words of Jesus Christ. In John chapter 15, Jesus said that your joy may be full. In John chapter 16, that your joy may be full, Jesus said. In John chapter 17, Jesus once again said that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. See, John's desire, along with Jesus' desire, is for every believer to have the same joy. The same joy. Joyful fellowship. Listen, I can get excited about one of Pam's cupcakes, but that's not the fellowship that my soul desires. Joyful fellowship as opposed to miserable fellowship. Have you ever been there? You ever come to church and gone, yeah, I got to go to church. I got to go to church. And your joy is miserable. If it's even there at all, I mean, on the gas tank of joy, you're like just above empty, but you don't want to pay $6 for a gallon of gas. So you're just like, I don't want to do it, but I know I need to. Listen, no one wants miserable fellowship, but we often accept lukewarm fellowship, don't we? We often accept it. We often go, well, if that's as good as it gets, then I can live with that. Lukewarm fellowship. You know, we know the object of true fellowship is in the Father and in the Son. So, if we know that and we desire that, then what is the result of true fellowship with the object of true fellowship with Jesus Christ, who will give us true, joyful fellowship? What's the result of that? Well, that's what John deals with in the rest of this chapter. This is the message which we've heard from him, and declare to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So this is the message we've heard from him. And this is what we proclaim to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. I like the we here. We say, we walk, we lie. John, along with all of the apostles, recognized their susceptibility, their vulnerability to sin. We need to recognize that in ourselves. That's what John is saying. You need to recognize that you're still a sinner. Sure, you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, but you're still a sinner. You still sin. You still step out of bounds. You still transgress. You still miss the mark. And when we sin and we don't deal with it, it leads to a lack of fellowship. Not only with God, but with one another. If we're experiencing less than ideal fellowship, it's our fault. It's not God's fault. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. See, the agent for our cleansing is the blood of Jesus. And Jesus shed his blood on the cross to cleanse us so we can stand before God the Father, forgiven and in fellowship with him. Now, John's not dealing with salvation here. He's not dealing with salvation. But he is dealing with relationship. He's dealing with fellowship. And sometimes we get so bent concerning our relationship with God. And John admits that in verse 8. He says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. How many times have you asked a person that you love, a person that you've met here maybe this morning, and you go, well, how are you doing? And they go, I'm good. I'm good. I'm fine. Everything's good. And you're like, no. No, I don't think so. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It doesn't mean we have to confess to each other. Okay? It's not a bad thing, but it doesn't mean that. It means we have to confess to him. Now, I want to stop here just for a second and define sin. We've talked a lot about it. What is it? How is it defined? Well, John defines it later on in 1 John chapter 3. He says, everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. John's a little black and white. But we live in such a gray time where there's shades of gray everywhere. It's kind of refreshing to have somebody say, okay, if you're sinning, that's wrong, and that affects your relationship with God. Sin, very simply, is where we ignore God's law and we make up our own. We're pretty good at that. In fact, there's a statement going around, you know, well, your truth isn't my truth, and my truth is this. What? You're just making stuff up. Have you ever heard the phrase, that person is a law unto themselves? They just do whatever they want to do because that's what they want to do. And you know, it's nothing new. Sin came in with Adam. Well, started with the serpent, but sin came in with Adam. As it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So how do we not only enter into this fellowship in salvation, but also in walk around everyday fellowship? How do we enter in this to this fellowship that happens inside, but then have it come out in fellowship with others? How does that work? Well, the first fact we must recognize is the absolute holiness of God. If you have an insert, I know we're running long on time here, or late on time. I don't know, however that time thing works. If you have an insert, there's a whole list, starting in Exodus, 1 Samuel, Psalms, Isaiah, Revelation, Noah, don't put them all up. But these all talk about the holiness of God, the absolute holiness of God. And we say, well, I want a relationship with God. Well, I want to spend time with God. And yet you're carrying all this sin around with you. And God's like, I can't look at that sin. I can't. And so that needs to be dealt with because we need to recognize that God is holy. I mean, holy is separated from sin. And so he will separate himself from you in fellowship because of your sin. Because of my sin. And then we need to recognize that there's a progression of holiness in the believer. God's ultimate goal is to turn every single person in this room into the image of Jesus Christ. Into Jesus Christ. Into the image of Jesus Christ. You catching that? God wants you to be like Jesus. Now, if God wants that, and he can speak universes into existence, do you think he can cover that? Do you think he can do that? Yeah. So again, what's the problem? Why aren't we all like Jesus? Because it's us. We're the problem. And what's the problem? We're not turning over our sin to him. We're not confessing our sin to a holy God who has dealt with it, and that's the reason for the cross. That's why Jesus came, to take away sin. And so he's got it all covered. We're the issue. We're the problem. Well, anyway, read through all those verses when you get a chance. I'm just going to end with this. If your fellowship with God, God the Father, if your fellowship with Jesus Christ, the Son, is not what you wanted, it's not what you want it to be, remember this. Since we have been united with Christ through faith, who has conquered sin and death, who has set us apart from this vile world, who has given the Holy Spirit, who has demonstrated perfect holiness, who has set us free, we have no excuse, no excuse at all not to pursue the maturity of fellowship in Jesus and with one another. Listen, if two Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ, aren't getting along, it's not God's fault. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you love us. We thank you that you are holy and you expect that from your people. Father, we can't do it on our own. Oh, we can try, but we will always fall short. We thank you that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us and to deal with sin in the only way possible, to wipe it clean by his shed blood. We thank you that you have implanted into our hearts a desire for fellowship, a desire to spend more time with you and to get to know you better and to get to know you, really know you, and a desire to spend time with other believers, with those folks who really know you as well. Father, that's our destiny. That's our future. We will be with you forever and with believers forever. Let's get used to it today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You're going to...